Welcome to the Erickson Covenant Church podcast. We're happy that you would join us for today's teaching. As a church, we're passionate about helping people find and follow Jesus, no matter who they are or where they are from. If you have any questions about Jesus, the church, or the teaching you're hearing today, please don't hesitate to contact us online at ericksoncovenant.ca. And now, let's listen to this week's teaching.
I love bringing God's word. And I want to start by telling you a story. A few weeks ago, I was sitting with a friend of mine, and we were just, you know, it was late at night. We were talking about life, which, you know, like kids and money and work and the usual stuff. And then out of the blue, she said to me, "You know what I'd really like to do?" And then she just proceeded to outline this amazing idea that she had for a job in her field that would help resolve a really important social issue and bring a lot of hope to a lot of people. And I won't get into all the specifics for the sake of her privacy, but it was like a really good idea. And so I very creatively said, "That's a really good idea." And I said, "You should do that." And she kind of laughed. You know that kind of laugh where you're sort of blowing off something great because it just seems impossible to you at that moment. And so she laughed and she went, "Yeah, right. You know, if only that kind of job existed." And normally it ends there, and that's it. Conversation about impossible things and dreams and imaginings, they happen all the time. And then we laugh and we come back to reality and we get on with life. Well, I decided I would push it just a little bit. I asked her, who would have the power to create a job like that? And we talked about that for a minute, and then I said, "Well, do you know anyone who could put you in touch with those people?" And, we kind of brainstormed, and she did know this one guy, and I said, "Well, what would be the best way to contact that guy?" And suddenly, out of nowhere, there was this little plan emerging, and she was talking to people and writing proposals, and a few days she texted me, "I think this might really happen." And I got that text as I was coming home. I was like on my front step with my key in the lock, and I stopped for a second. I said, my poor neighbors, because I look so crazy, I just said right out loud, "How many women have ideas like this? Like, how many people have something in them that they know could change everything? It's a really good idea. And they just never do it. They have this idea for great things that would make a difference, things they would love to do, but it seems impossible, so they never act on it." And it doesn't have to be women. It's just what I was thinking about that day. But how many incredible creations never get made? How many ideas never even get spoken out loud? How many songs never get written? How many dreams never get a chance? Because we're sure that that's impossible. I wonder what you have filed away as impossible. Maybe this year, maybe decades ago. Think about that for a second. What in your life have you just tucked away because that would be impossible? What have you always dreamed about, but you never did it? We're celebrating the first week of Advent this Sunday, and Advent is a season in the church calendar where Christians remember the Christmas story, and they really intentionally prepare themselves for the arrival of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And this fall, here at Erickson Covenant, we've been studying Acts together. Some of you have been here through that whole series and studying that in small groups, and we've been talking about the way that the Holy Spirit is fulfilling Jesus' promise of witness in the world, and first through the early church, and then now in an ongoing way through us. And for the next four Sundays in Advent, we're going to pause our study of Acts, but we wanted to keep learning about the Holy Spirit as we entered into Advent. And it's kind of a funny thing about the Holy Spirit. At the start of the book of Acts, when you're reading, Jesus talks about how the Father will send the Spirit on his people, the people who have been learning from Jesus. And the Spirit comes on them like tongues of fire, and this rushing wind goes through and transforms everyone. And people who were timid are bold all of a sudden. And, you know, some of the ones who were, frankly, they were sort of loose cannons before that, they become the reliable, empowered, gifted leaders of the church. And when you read that story, you can sort of assume that this is the first time that the Holy Spirit has really been part of the action. But that turns out not to be the case. If you read the story of the... We'll figure this out in a second. If you read the story of the birth of Jesus, especially the account in Luke, which is, you know, Luke is the author of both the Gospel of Luke and of Acts. So if you read Luke's account, you see the Holy Spirit pop up time and time again in that story. He's filling people, sometimes before they're even born. It says that he fills John the Baptist when he's still a baby in his mother's tummy. He's filling people. He's coming upon them. He's moving them to new places. He's giving them insight. He's very active, even in a behind-the-scenes kind of way. And so the break from Acts isn't really a break from our learning about the Spirit, the way that he fills us and moves us and is active in our lives. And I'm looking forward to learning about that with you. Well, this week's story is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And so we'll read it and we'll see where the Holy Spirit is moving. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing shall be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Now, if you grew up in the church like I did, this is a very familiar story, right? It's familiar enough that this story can start to seem normal. And actually, I think I was in my teens before I connected the word virgin from health class with the virgin in the Christmas story. Like, it just, you know, the Virgin Mary, I don't know, I thought that was like her first name or something. And I didn't like put those together or figure out how strange that actually was until much later than I should have. And I'm sure I've told this story before. So if you've heard it, you know, I'm not even sorry, because it's my favorite story about how odd this story really is. So I'm going to share it again, and lucky you. My best friend Susanna, who's visiting this week, actually, she was working in a church one year, and she was meeting and talking with this woman who was coming back to faith after having been alienated for a long time, partly because of her sexuality. And she was exploring faith again. And her longtime partner had grown up with zero connection to the church. Like, just literally no exposure to anything Christian. So as the two of them were exploring faith together, you know, her partner was encountering everything for the very first time, including the Christmas story. So one evening, these women are reading the story together, and they're reading one of the biographies of Jesus and the part about his birth story, and Susanna's friend is reading through, like, "And you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. How can this be since I'm a virgin? Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you." And she's just reading along because that's the story, right? And her partner interrupts her and she says, hang on. Okay. Are you telling me that the girl who has this baby, Jesus' mom, is a virgin? Do people really believe this stuff? Like, she was just shocked. And she's right. Right? That's true. She's right. This is crazy. Like, this is just 12 verses of scripture, what I read. And we hear about not one, but two impossible births. Impossible babies. First, this young woman, Mary, who's engaged, but still a virgin. That's impossible. So we'll just agree on that together. She would be in this season of preparation where she's living with her parents while her future husband is building a suite of rooms on his family home so that they can live there together. And they might not see each other too often, especially if they live some distance apart. And she's expecting this very normal life. Lots of young women her age are in that exact same position. They're doing the exact same thing. And then suddenly, one day, this angel appears and everything changes. Can you imagine an angel appearing in a courtyard to tell you that your virgin self is going to have a baby? I cannot imagine that. I can't imagine that just here. I can't imagine that. And so as I was studying for this sermon, I was trying to think, like, how, you know, what does it sound like? How does this go? And actually, I thought it was sort of funny. I don't know if that's sacrilegious. I thought it was sort of funny the way that the angel presents this information, right? Because I've never read it this way before, but I thought, you know, he starts out with these four affirmations of God's pleasure and presence with Mary, right? He calls her favored one. The Lord is with you. There's this encouragement. Don't be afraid. And then he reaffirms, you have found favor with God. And then he just slips in this craziness. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Right? And then he goes right on immediately to extolling how great the baby will be. He'll be great, the son of the Most High. God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, who is only the most famous and powerful king in all of the history of the Israelite people. He will reign forever. His kingdom will have no end. That's quite funny if you think about mapping that out, right? Four great things about Mary and God. You're going to have a baby. Yay. And then four great things about who Jesus is going to become. He just slips it in, this completely impossible thing. And Mary's response actually is not that different from the woman in the story who's hearing this for the very first time. Wait, hold up. Did you just say that I'm going to have a baby? You know that's not possible, right? I mean, I don't know how it works with angels, but with people, like I haven't, Joseph and I haven't, that can't happen. And she, of course, she's way more eloquent in the story. And I'm sure that she was very eloquent. But come on. That poor young woman must have been so shocked and so confused. And to her credit, she manages not to scoff at the angel, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know what I would think. She just asks in a very open and sincere and vulnerable way, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And she's really saying, how can this happen? That's impossible. What you're saying is impossible. The thing that makes it possible is the Holy Spirit. That's the angel's answer. the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And I have no idea what that would have meant in practical terms, and I am eternally grateful that Mary didn't ask. But the point is, the Holy Spirit comes into that picture and changes all the rules about who can get pregnant and when and how. And the thing that he uses to convince her or reassure her or something is that her relative Elizabeth, who in the angel's own words is in her old age, her relative has already conceived and is in the sixth month, even though she was said to be barren. This elderly woman who was never able to have children, ever, and is well beyond her childbearing years, is suddenly and inexplicably pregnant. And I think that would be a shock to Mary, because there were no Facebook birth announcements that were going out. And so if they didn't live right next to each other, and they didn't, because we hear later on that Mary goes on a journey to see Elizabeth, there would have been no way for her to know this. You who have never been with a man are going to conceive and bear a son. And your cousin, who is far too old to be able to conceive, has been carrying a baby for 6 months already. Why? Oh, because nothing will be impossible with God. You know, it's very important and very reassuring in life that many, many things are impossible. Right? Like, we need to know that if we plant tomato seeds in the garden, it is impossible that peas or zucchini will grow up in that spot. We need to know that. We need to know that when we get up out of bed in the morning, that gravity will still be in place and we will not just simply drift up to the ceiling. We need to know that you cannot get pregnant if you have not had sex. It's very important. It matters. Because knowing what's impossible and what's possible is what allows us to make sense of the world and make decisions and plans and anticipate what the results will be. And for the most part, God doesn't mess with that too much. Cheryl, you can do one more. I think this is supposed to be... Oh, you're right. Never mind. Well, we're coming to that cute picture in just a second. For the most part, God doesn't mess with possible and impossible very much, right? For the most part. But then every once in a while, he throws us a curveball. Like when he asks Gideon to whittle down his army to almost nothing, just literally send thousands upon thousands of soldiers home before they go into battle. It's impossible that they would win, but they do. Or when he asks Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times and then blow their trumpets, and all the walls will just fall down for them. That's impossible. Going for a walk and blowing a horn does not make walls fall down. I mean, I haven't done it lately, and I don't think my neighbors would like that, but I don't think that's possible, except... it does happen. They fall down. When God gets involved, all the rules change. I was working with some campus ministries at a retreat once, and everyone had started off the weekend by giving this like snapshot of how their ministry was doing using some kind of image or diagram. And this one group used the image of baby sea turtles. So here we go. And they were talking about sea turtles who had hatched and were trying to get back to the water. And they described some of the members of their groups as, just flippering right along and everything was going normally. They were making good progress. But then others, some were moving quite slowly and getting confused and heading in the wrong direction. And some had flipped over entirely and were stuck on their backs in the sand, unable to make any progress at all. And they weren't sure what to do as leaders. Should they keep moving forward with the ones who were going in the right direction? Should they slow down and wait for others to catch up? Should they be chasing the ones who were wandering off? Well, later in the weekend, we were talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, and we were praying for individual groups, and someone in prayer had this image for the sea turtle group where the water level just started to rise, like when the tide comes in. And as the water rose, all these baby turtles on the beach who had been struggling were suddenly caught up in the waves, and they were just able to move and swim freely because they're swimming instead of being stuck on their backs in the sand. And they're doing what they're intended to do. And clearly, it was a whole new reality for all the turtles, not just the ones who had been doing great, but for everyone. I've never forgotten that image. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He changes the rules of reality so that the impossible thing suddenly becomes the most normal thing in the world. It becomes completely possible. And in Acts, we've been watching him do that. He's been giving people the ability to speak and understand foreign languages. He's been giving them incredible boldness and courage. He's been making it possible for them to heal people. Like literally, when they walk by and their shadows fall on people, they're standing up and walking for the first time. He prompts this incredible generosity. He gives supernatural insight. He opens doors. That was last week. Just opens doors and releases them from prison. It's a bit like watching a superhero movie, right? Where everything looks normal. It's set in our normal world and people are doing normal things, except that the hero has these incredible powers so they can just defy all the laws of physics and do whatever they want. And usually movies like that remind us that we can't do those sorts of things. But Acts is supposed to remind us that with the Holy Spirit, we can. I don't know if you notice this. I seem to be 3 out of the last 4 Advents the person preaching on the first Sunday, which is hope. And so I was listening to one of my old sermons because I was trying to make sure I didn't repeat myself too much. So last year the title was Making a List, and I was talking about taking the time to get clear at the start of the Christmas season about what your priorities were and what you were hoping for that season and for your life. And I realized something as I was listening to it, and here's the vulnerable part of the message for me today. Last year, at this time, at the start of Advent, I had not been a mother yet. And if you're just visiting or you don't know me, that's going to sound like a weird way to phrase that. But, you know, I'm a single woman. I'm 39 years old. I've never had children. And in a lot of ways, that had started to seem like an impossible part of the story. But in February, I got to become a foster parent. And in March, 2 sweet little people came to stay with me for a while. And they went home on Thursday. And it's not exactly the same. You know, and it's not the traditional way. But this year, I became a mom. And my friend from the start of the message is getting ready to move and spend a year trying out this job that was just an impossible idea she had 8 weeks ago. 8 weeks. And all those things that we file away as impossible, renewing broken relationships, getting a degree, going overseas, starting a new career, healing from sickness or from trauma, having children. What if they're not impossible? What if they're not impossible? The first Sunday of Advent is traditionally the Sunday we celebrate hope. And when things seem impossible, hope can seem naive or foolish, right? Or we can just decide we want to avoid hope because it's too painful. I have really good friends who were they were unable to conceive because shortly after they got married, he got testicular cancer. And so fairly quickly, they decided that they would adopt. But over the course of a few years, multiple times, they were called to come and pick up a baby only to have something fall through. Right? There's like a mix-up with paperwork, or another family would be chosen, or the mother would change her mind. And that's heartbreaking. That's a really tough place to be. And she told me once that they often wondered in that season if they should stop trying. Not because they didn't want kids anymore, but because it was so painful to like rally themselves and get their hopes up again when they had been hurt. And she said, it's a courageous thing to hope, especially if you've been disappointed or if you've been hurt. It takes a lot of strength to like play another hand, but it's always right to do it. It's always right to hope again, because our God is always a God of hope. And I agree, especially when the Holy Spirit is involved, and he always is. It's always right to hope. And so at the very start of this Christmas season, what have you filed away as impossible this year? What have you written off? Maybe it's time to take those things out again, like the ornaments you forgot you had packed away, right? Dust them off, ponder them, hold them up in prayer before God and ask him, what is God doing in your life? What is he planting in you? What is he inviting you to hope for? What's he inviting you to believe that the Holy Spirit could do? The Holy Spirit is the one who changes the rules, who makes the waters rise, brings the walls down, and overshadows young virgins. For in the unforgettable words of the angel Gabriel, nothing will be impossible with God. I wonder if you would stand with me. I'd like to pray for you and then offer a benediction. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come this morning eager to be ready for Christmas with you, to be hosted by you in this season of Advent and preparation. God, we come with expectancy about your plans. Jesus, we come waiting for your arrival in a new way. Holy Spirit, we come open to your movement in our lives. Would you show us what you want to do? Would you rally the courage in us to hope again? Would you let us see your plans for this season? We pray in your name. Amen. Here's a benediction for you, and then I hope you'll stay and join us for coffee afterwards. In this season of Advent, people of God, go forth from this place empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill your high calling as servants and witnesses of Jesus Christ. And now, may the risen Christ go with you, behind you to support you, above you to watch over you, within you to empower you, and in front of you to show you the way. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope today's teaching provided you with life-changing truth and valuable insight. We hope you've learned of some practical steps forward in your spiritual journey, whether you're finding Jesus for the first time or you have been following him for years. Do you know someone who would be encouraged by what you heard today? We invite you to share this podcast so they can be encouraged too. For more information or to ask more questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for the Erickson Covenant Church.